this week's interview is with Fear Factory singer Burton Bell. And Burton, what is Fear Factory doing right now? What do you have going on?
We just rolled into Sacramento, California. We're on the last three shows of our Noise in the Machine tour with our brothers in Shadows Fall opening up. And we got 3 days left in the States and then immediately fly to Europe to do our festival circuit tour and come back. And then in July, our tour with the Shockwave tour starts, where we're headlining, and with our direct support is Voivod. So just doing a lot of touring, you know, getting prepping the album and just, you know, pumping it and promoting it and doing our thing.
Now, Burton, all of these songs seem to be pretty loosely related, and is there any type of concept behind this record as far as the lyrical content goes? And if so, what is that concept about?
Well, of course, you know, it's a Fear Factory record, so this one this time is a full-blown concept. We haven't done a full-blown concept since Obsolete. And you know, it goes along the vein of Man versus Machine, which Fear Factory does, and you know, the machine being not just, you know, a mechanical machine, but a society type of machine. However, this time, the war of man versus machine, of course, set in a futuristic dystopian type of society, and it's from the perspective of a machine. The industrialist is an automaton and has become sentient. And with this newfound knowledge, it's teaching others how to fight against man, not just everyday man, but the men that created it. Because the men that created it are trying to disassemble their model because, of course, as technology improves, there's always a better model. And so, for reasons, you know, they're trying to, you know, disassemble their models and, you know, make way for the new. And so, the industrialist is fighting man, destroying its technology, destroying its establishments, and, you know, searching for a creator.
Well, I've noticed all of the Fear Factory albums themselves, they all the lyrical content seems to be dealing with man versus machine or machine and man. And, you know, is this something you like? Obviously, this is something you like to write about. And what inspired this type of lyric writing for you?
You know, it's you know, one thing, it started off with my childhood type of inspirations and influences from always being a fan of science fiction. And always enjoying, you know, stories. And Fear Factory started off as a concept. You know, it's, the moment we came up with our name, we came up with a philosophy behind it. We came up with, not many bands actually, when they come up with a band name, have a reason why it's a band name. And so we came up with the concept, well, what is Fear Factory? And this kind of promoted the entire concept of every record, of everything that we do. And Man vs. Machine always seemed to be a great outlet for us because, you know, of the influences that Dino and I have on movies and books, of TV shows. You know, we've always felt that our music was a soundtrack to a movie that's never been made. So, and for me, coming from like a punk rock youth kind of guy, you know, man versus machine is man versus, you know, fighting the man, you know, and the machine is like government to me in a lot of ways. You know, I'm an anti-establishment kind of guy. So to me, it all kind of comes together into the Fear Factory concept.
Well, Burton, one of the newest and hottest things going on in heavy metal as far as festivals go, it seems to be that 70,000 tons of metal cruise that everybody's talking about. And I know you guys ended up playing that festival. And talk about that festival. What do you think of it? And what was it like to play that?
For me, I thought it was the best festival I've ever attended. Because it was just a great time. You know, it was all-inclusive you're on a boat. You're basically, the way I put it is, it's a festival on a boat and everybody's backstage. And, you know, the fans were really respectful to everybody, and it was just a good time. You know, I thought it was, to me, I had a blast.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burton, I'm going to take the topic off of Fear Factory for one question here, and the reason I want to bring this up is because when I was in high school, I really liked this album, and you sang on it, and that's the first GZR album with, of course, Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath. And what was it like working with him and recording that record?
Wow, that was just, even thinking about it, it's really hard to just come up with the words, because I was a Sabbath fan, and, you know, I'm a fanboy, you know, I can have my fanboy moments with when an artist comes in that I totally respect, and I get like giddy, you know. I'll be like nervous, or I'll be like, you know, trying not to bother them, but I'm a fanboy, and so I was trying to be cool, you know. But to me, it was like something I never expected to happen, and it was so much fun. It was a great experience. You know, I can call Geezer Butler a friend. I can call Pedro Howes a friend. I can call Dean Castanova a friend. Working with three other great musicians, and that whole experience was just fantastic. You know, it was definitely a pivotal moment in my career, and definitely a highlight.
Now, Burton, I want to touch a bit on the previous record, Mechanized, because, and the reason being is because I think that is one of the strongest Fear Factory albums that has ever come out, and it's also the first record with Dino being back in a band playing guitar. And I know he had been out of the picture for a few years. And to me, I thought that album, you know, I'm not going to discount or say that Archetype and Transgression were bad, but what I'm saying is that the chemistry seems to be a lot better now with Dino being back in the band. And my question for you is this: how did you get him back, and the reunion or getting him back into the band, how did you go about that?
Well, to me, it was important that Dino came back to the band. You know, Dino and I founded Fear Factory, and with his presence, with the absence of his presence, it made a big difference in the band, the band's sound, and the band's career. Having him come back, to me, had to happen. You know, whatever happened in the past happened, but Dino and I got past that, and so working with Dino Cazares again on Mechanized was a really cool experience. We were writing some great music. You know, Dino had something to prove, of course. The band itself had something to prove. We had to, you know, we're still in the process of, you know, building the band back up to the level it should be. And in doing the Mechanized record, you know, Dino and I were in the "quote unquote," getting to know you stage again, and so there was that element, and so that had a little bit of effect on the writing. I mean, it was a really good record. It didn't, and when I mean effect on the writing, not in a bad way, but it's just definitely, you know, it wasn't all about the music this time around. For this record, it was all about the music. We got past the backstage, so we were able to just focus on the work, on the music, and the production, and everything. So, it's, you know, times, you know, we just had to move forward.
And you seem to find that, because, you know, again, like I said before, I don't think Transgression or Archetype are bad records, but by any means, I actually like them. But what I'm saying is that when Dino comes into the band, or when any musician jams with somebody, once you get a musical chemistry, regardless whether you hate the person, like the person, are indifferent to them, whatnot, that musical chemistry just never goes away. And is that the case with Dino? You know, when he came back into the band, was it just like he never left? And, you know, talk about some of the musical chemistry you had with him, because it seems that it still stayed after all these years.
Yeah, you know, it's really like it's like no time went past. You know, it's like working together with him again was just like second nature, really.
Fear Factory, you know, you guys just seem to be a band that likes to tour quite a bit. You know, you see bands out there, they maybe play 30, 40, 50 dates and they're done, but you guys, you know, you're playing everywhere. I always see tour dates on the Fear Factory page, and, you know, you talked about going to Europe a little bit too, and, you know, those European festivals, I understand that they, you know, being in at those before, that you get a lot of reception, a great response, and you're kind of insane. And describe to the American audience what it's like to go over in Europe and play one of these festivals as compared to here.
Well, the big difference is between the States and Europe is the festivals, because the festivals are so massive. The States doesn't seem to be able to get it together, you know. They have a couple of festivals, but they run them into the ground and they become something else. But the festivals over there are just they last forever, because the fans are just like so into music. They support they love going to music, they love camping out, they love supporting the bands that they love. And it's for Fear Factory fans, Fear Factory fans seem rabid wherever we go. It just seems to be more of them in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big difference. There's more Fear Factory fans in Europe than there are in the States.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing, but we seem to do better in Europe than we do in the States.
You know, you're still a band that, Burton, that still works with a producer. And to me, a producer could be very important to a band's sound. And a lot of bands have basically not been doing this, but you guys continue to do so. And, why is this? Why do you continue to have the same producer? We have the same guy that's been in there for a few years, and maybe talk a bit about that.
Well, we work with Reese Fuller, and he's our co-producer. And he's pretty much Reese Fuller's pretty much been the silent member of this band since, 1992, when he and Bill Lee did Here's the Mind Killer for us, the first remix album. It was great working with Reese. He understands what the band is about, since he's been with us for so long. He knows what the direction the band needs to go. He knows Dino and I very well, which is, he's a good friend. Aside from being a co-producer and someone to work with, he's a good friend. So He knows how to talk with Dino. He knows how to talk with me. He knows how to make discussions happen. He's just a good person to work with, and he just gets it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important when you have a producer. Someone, a lot of bands get a producer just because he might have a name, but the most important part is, does he get it? Is he going to change your band's sound because he's a producer and this is his thing, or is he going to work with the band to make the band sound the best that they can ever could sound?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of bands, it's not about who you can have the best producer in the world or whatever, but if they don't know how to use their tools, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our engineer Greg Reilly comes in. He's been working with us since Dream Manufacturer, since Fear's the Mind Killer. So he knows what the band should sound like as well. So, yes, we have great mixers and great, co-producer who also writes all the sound, the sound textures and the ambience and the bells and whistles and clicks and wheezes and all that stuff for this band and the ambience. But they know how to use their tools as well, and that's what's most important.
Yeah, there are a lot of great songs on this record, Burton, but I will tell you what, the one song that really stood out to me, that just hit me hard when I listened to it, was New Messiah. And talk a bit about that song, what it was written about, and maybe talk about the lyrical content.
Well, it's all part of the concept, and New Messiah, I don't know how I came up with the title, but in the story, the New Messiah, it's a world searching for a new Messiah, because the Messiah of old, he turned out to be lies and turned out to be all false prophets. But so this world is searching for a new Messiah, and some of these other automatons believe that the industrialists might be their Messiah, because the industrialists is helping them survive. So that's part of the whole concept. Just writing the song was just, Reese and I had these parts, and we just tried to find the best hook. And, mm-hmm. Whatever, it wasn't a struggle, because everything came so easily. For me, when I'm finding a melody, if a melody's not there, I'm not going to force it. But if a melody's there, it's going to come out of me. And that's the only way I know how to explain it. But that song turned out to be a really killer. And there's a director named Scott Hansen who's actually making a video for it right now. And it's going to be a full conceptual video. No band performance in it. Not even a band member in it. It's going to be like a short film. So I'm totally stoked.
Burton, I remember when I first heard of Fear Factory and started listening to Demanufacture, and I couldn't help but notice just how unique the band was, especially, you know, you guys put that album out right in a smack dab in the middle of the grunge era when metal really wasn't cool, and you took thrash metal kind of to a new level. And I have to ask you, what was it like for you in the early days? Because there was nothing like you guys out there. It was hard to categorize Fear Factory. You know, it wasn't really a death metal band, it wasn't really a thrash metal band, but it had its own unique sound. And how hard or difficult was it for you to come up during this time and describe the early days of your career?
Well, you know, Fear Factory started in L.A., and Dino and I lived in Hollywood, so we were in this Hollywood. We'd always go to Hollywood shows, but we weren't part of the Hollywood scene. And, when Fear Factory started, you know, we were playing backyard gigs in South Central LA and East LA, these death metal gigs. They're like death metal parties.
Yeah.
And I think Fear Factory was more, you know, and even in those death metal parties, we stood out even then because we were using samples. We were using, we had industrial tones to us and death, it's not just death metal. But more, had the industrial aspect to it, but the fans loved it. And it took a friend of mine, I lived in Hollywood, of course I had a lot of friends in Hollywood, in the Hollywood type of bands, and it took a friend of ours, I said, hey man, can you just put us on one of your Hollywood gigs so we can start playing in Hollywood? And when we started playing Hollywood gigs, people were like, whoa. And, you know, it took an interest. So it was a little weird, and, I was a fan of all types of music, so, you know, industrial, to, you know, even that sub-pop sound, and, a lot of things that I was into, I incorporated into Fear Factory, but it turned into our own sound. But, starting off in those early days was a little rough, you know, we're a totally different band. We weren't exactly death metal, we weren't exactly industrial, we weren't a Hollywood band, so where do we go? So we just basically wrote our own music and played our own shows. And what we kept doing was just recording and recording. We had 3 demos out before we even got signed.
Mm-hmm. Another thing too, Burton, another thing I'd like to point out too is that when you guys first came out, nobody was doing the hybrid death and clean vocals. I mean, that was just like a new thing. Nobody was doing that. And you guys pioneered that in music. And you know, what was that? You know, how did that come about? What made you decide to start, hey, I'm going to do some clean, I'm going to do some death vocals? Because at the time, you know, that's a pretty groundbreaking thing when that happened. And that, you guys really kind of started that whole trend back in the mid-90s. And talk about how you started doing that.
Well, I was, I had a lot of influences back then. And, when I was doing it, I can't remember the first song. I think the first song was Big God when we were starting to write that. And actually, it kind of started off as a joke for me. Because I was influenced, influenced by Godflesh a lot. And sometimes Justin wouldn't sing, but he had this kind of moan. Dino was playing this part in Big God, and I didn't feel, at the moment, I didn't feel like doing a yell. I felt like doing, trying to emulate a moan that Justin did, but it came out like this singing. And Dino stopped and goes, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, I won't do it. I go, no, do it. That sounded killer. And just went from there. I was able to transition from the growl to the singing so easily that we just incorporated into more songs, and that's how it started.
Now, the band Ascension of the Watchers, obviously the other project you have going on, do you plan on continuing with that? And talk a bit about that project really quick before we get going here.
Yeah, of course. You know, that is a labor of love for me, and I like to keep it special. And it's very experimental for a lot of Fear Factory fans, and a lot of Fear Factory fans don't get it, but some do. But I am continuing with that, and I'm going to keep it a very personal thing and very independent. So I'm going to just release it on my website whenever I have music for it.